Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shishi Gonitai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. So Hare Krishna, I'm very excited to be amongst you. Still a little bit jet-lagged, but otherwise in an adventurous and this is not the right word in the mood to really share something which I feel is very deep and very valuable for me as a devotee. I'm also very honored to see notable Vaishnavas amongst our group. We even have a Brij Basi amongst us. our Leeladhara Prabhuji. And we'll be spending up till Saturday with the subject matter, the transformation. I personally believe it is a subject matter which has a great scope for preaching. In America, there is a new movement out. I don't mean an organized movement like ours. It's just an intellectual movement where they, where professors and so on, talk about spiritual transformation. They say this is very important for the modern person to be transformed in a spiritual way. And obviously they have a different understanding of spiritual, which will emerge a little bit. They say that in this subject we should approach it very carefully and demand quantifiable results. Like, for instance, a person who becomes transformed should lose addictions. He should lose an obsessive behavior. They say a person who is transformed should even develop belief in non-causality systems. This is religions, in other words. And you should measure. You can measure this. They want to approach this very carefully because they understand there is so much trouble in the modern mind which could be changed if there would just be a transformation of the whole persona, overhauling of the psychology which the modern approaches in psychologies just don't seem to be able to give. They seem to be just superficial and temporary help. Therefore, this new movement postulates, let us probe into spiritual traditions and find out what means of meditation they have to offer to help. One of the findings of these academically sound and proof institutions, we will actually apply a very interesting technique which is based on the yoga philosophy and has Sankhya as its element. You will hear a little later about it, and we will actually do it. So this subject matter is of relevance to the secular society, and I think it is of even more relevance to us as devotees of Lord Krishna. Let me give you a reason why. In the past, we have seen a great stress in our theological approach to Krishna conscious philosophy on what we could call the philosophy of transcending. This philosophy is, in my own words, a little bit like this. We just have to change the level of our consciousness. This is actually Prabhupada's words. By engaging in the processes of bhakti yoga. In other words, you take an ordinary man and tell him, chant and you will transcend. You will come on another level and you will the problems from your old level will disappear. This philosophy is very, very valuable. But I really feel that we should look at another part of our philosophy, that is taking our unfinished business, our anattas in other words, and transforming them. Let me explain to you why I think this approach needs to be there with the other approach by telling you a little German joke. In Germany we have this joke of someone who has, the Hosenträger in German. It's suspenders. Thank you. Suspenders. They're made usually of gummy, like this. And a person goes through the door and one of his suspenders gets caught up in the door. And he continues. After some time, it's a little bit more laborious. He's away from the door, away from his obstacle. But then, all of a sudden, bang! He gets either the end part of the suspender, like a bullet into his back, totally unexpected, or, if the suspenders come from Leipzig, where good suspenders are made, he is pulled back from his progress, and bangs unceremoniously against the door. I think those who like to think know what I want to say. By the philosophy of transcending, removing yourself from the old level, which is an important philosophy and which gets you started in spiritual life, you can definitely make the much needed difference. But if you have not dealt with certain anattas and have not transformed them, they will come back, so that all of a sudden you find yourself as a swami engaged in attractions to the opposite sex in ways which are less than favorable for your spiritual development, to be very polite. Or you find yourself as a high-flying spiritualist who has had many ecstatic experiences, like ecstatic kirtans, wonderful encounters with the deities, encounters which were based on faith and so on, becoming doubtful in the basic tenets of spiritual philosophy, and falling back to starting point. We have seen this many times in our lives, that if the heart is not purified, I will now give another word for transformation, and is not successfully purified, and if your lust is not moved or transformed into love, your attachments are not transformed into attachments to Lord Krishna, then you can work so hard, but your labor will not bring you forward. So I have seen this in my own spiritual life, and after this I have decided to look into it, and found a wonderful verse which kept me thinking. It's quoted, for those of you who like to take notes, in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 31, text 10. I will recite it in Sanskrit because it forms really a very important basis of our understanding. Yata kanchanatham jati kangsyam rasavidanataha tata diksha vidhanena dvijat vangjayate nrinam. As bell metal, when mixed with mercury, is transformed to gold, a person, even though not golden pure, can be transformed into a brahmana or dvija simply by the initiation process. It is a quote from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Here a certain process is described or hinted at, which is able to transform our hearts and make it golden pure. I will nerve a few of you now. Please think carefully. What would be necessary to transform bell metal, which is an alloy of tin and copper, if I remember properly, into gold? Think. You would actually have to enter very deep into the atomic structure, and you would encounter what is known in physics as the strong force, a force which keeps the atom together and also separated from each other, so that our manifest reality, which appears to our sense perception, is the way it is, and the window is a window and not a chair, a curtain is a curtain and not a wallpaper. All of matter is composed of the Anu, the finest part, says the Vedas, and they are held by nada, by different vibrations which come from God in their position. This is a position which is very much akin to the findings of modern physics. You have to really enter deep there. It's easy to give the bell metal an appearance of gold. You can just paint it. But only one Radhadesh Winter would be sufficient to strip the illusion naked before your eyes. In other words, the gold would just fall off here. In the same way, you can easily change externally an ordinary person by shaving him up and changing his language. Instead of Haribol, instead of hello, he will say Haribol. and he will know a few Sanskrit shlokas and get up early in the morning. But if he has not gone deeply into the heart and made it golden pure, as Srila Prabhupada translates, if he has, in other words, not made the alchemical transformation, then it will not be very successful, his spiritual life and so on. Now, I will talk about these things, but I notice a certain tired energy in the room, something which a lecturer will not overlook, and therefore I have decided to do what I usually do with non-devotees. It will be very good for you to also do it. I will approach, introduce you, so So the small time triathlon. So Vrijbasi, please bear with me. This is what please raise. We all know that a little sport and exercise is good to get the circulation going. And we will have to do this to survive this class with enlightenment. I want you... We will now start our triathlon. Involves three disciplines: running, swimming, and bicycling. When you do these things, it's important that you find your rhythm, and so on. And please don't condemn me. The class will be very serious, but I just cannot. I have to help you to be awake after a long day of seminars. So please start running.
This is one I wrote up in Zurich when I was up traveling.
You have to find your rhythm. And don't stop breathing. Breathe.
I went walking down by the lakeside, pretty people all in a row. Some were biking, some were boating. Such a pity they don't know. Summer sunshine is followed by rain.
Find your rhythm.
So-called pleasure, it turns into pain. We're not careful.
Okay.
Born again. Why should we choose to...
Now we will enter deep water. We will have to swim with good movements. 1 minute.
Try to help them find out the answer to the question, where do we go? Some will believe us. Such a pity they don't know. Summer sunshine is followed by rain. So-called pleasure, it turns into pain. If we're not careful, we'll be born again.
Your
why
rhythm,
should we
rhythm.
To remain?
Okay, thank you very much. Now comes bicycling. Bicycling. Sit down on your bicycle and start to drive, trembling like anything. And you have to drive also, avoiding obstacles, swinging.
Want to somehow be a devotee.
Don't stop to breathe.
Krishna,
deep breathing is good.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Don't give up.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Please forgive me for the unconventional way of keeping you awake. I could also offend you to raise the adrenaline in you. But this is better. Oops. You will, don't worry, you won't be graded by your rhythm in your triathlon. It's just, I hope it helps to keep attentive. So, in my preparations for this book, I met Brahmatirtha Prabhu, who gave me a very nice quote, which I would read to you. It's by one Keshavadas. I do not know his more than he is Keshavadas. He gives a word for the devotees who want to start the serious work of transforming their hearts, who are not satisfied to just only keep old baggage and later become unenthusiastic in their spiritual life because they don't experience something. They don't experience the transformation. He says, go ahead, light your candles and burn your incense and ring your bells and call out to Lord Krishna's names. But watch out, because Krishna will come and he will put you on his anvil and fire up his forge, Blazebalg, and beat you and beat you until he turns brass into pure gold. When you go onto the difficult process of transformation, you call upon the Lord for helping you. We will take one transformational story as the basis of our seminar, a story in which we will discover a certain shamatha which can be seen in all transformation, in many transformational stories, sometimes different, sometimes slightly different. There are different elements of this. Now, I have written this down, for you. The source is one person, Joseph Campbell, who investigated all the ancient traditions he could get hold of, and who saw that in all the stories, there is always a starting point where a person feels a call. This goes together. Then usually he doesn't immediately respond to the call. I think you can look at your own lives. You received a call, become a devotee. But you said, no, I can't do this. This is really too extreme. Then you meet a mentor. I have kept these words. I could say the spiritual master. And receive from him an instrument of power. Means a certain process, a mantra, an initiation process, and so on. Then you start your spiritual life, cross the first thresholds. Maybe you go out on Sankirtan, something which you never would have done, to mix with unknown people. Then there are tests. You know, you get to know who are your friends during this time, devotees you can rely on, allies, and there are also enemies. Then comes an ordeal, a fire test, where you really have to prove your worth. It's often in our tradition, at the time of death, your bhajan is tested. It's not an easy moment. It's a final examination. And then you go away with a reward, some sweet realization. I mean, this death can also, I'm speaking maybe in a language, it can also be an ego death. You're really crushed. You feel, now I have to start my life again. I did this terrible mistake. It was shown. I understood it. Will I go on now or will I go? No, deal, something intense. Can be death or also an ego death on the way. You will get a reward and then you have to do the road back. You have to come back and live your life. After the ecstasy, you have to wash your laundry. And bring your spirituality in your daily life. And this will lead, hopefully, to a resurrection. That means yoga with Lord, with the Lord. This is I have taken this source. It's not my own, and I have not heard this from Srila Prabhupada. It is important, but I to say this for me. But as I try to illustrate to you a little bit, it's not totally unconnected to our subject. It is very much connected, and I hope to show this in a very meaningful way by telling you the Dhruva story. I will only tell each day a certain episode from the Dhruva story and then go into explaining it with exercises and so on and so forth. We will actually take Dhruva Maharaj as our example in our own transformational story, our spiritual transformational story. Dhruva Maharaj is an ideal example because he teaches us that he starts his spiritual life with a devotion to Krishna, but mixed, very much mixed, by the elements of personal desire. Later, he blossoms into total purity. It's a wonderful lila, and I heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to hear it again and again. He heard two lilas again and again from Gadadha Pandit at the Tota Gopinath temple. It was Dhruva Maharaja's story and Prahlad Maharaja's story. If you are going to Mathura, you find in the sacred forest Madhuvan the Dhruva Tila. Tila means the mountain of Lord of Dhruva, and he is there in a spiritual way, and we can pray to him. Dhruva Maharaj has always been my example, and one day I hope that my very impure personal desires will blossom to complete purity by his mercy and Dhruva Prabhupada's mercy, and therefore it means a lot to me. I want to just go briefly with you through the first part of the story where Dhruva Maharaj hears a call. An inner calling which he follows. I'm aware that in a Krishna conscious assembly like yours, the story is known, so I will purposefully make it brief to go on to other subjects. Uttanapada, the king, had two wives, Suniti and Suruchi. Suniti bore him his firstborn son, Dhruva, and Suruchi, the second, Uttama. Suruchi happened to capture the heart of the king more than Suniti. And therefore Uttanapada had to be always careful, due to his attachment to Suruchi, to give signs of favor to Suruchi and her sibling, Uttama. So once, Uttama came on the lap of his father and played, and little Dhruva, seeing this, wanted to also climb. the lap of Uttanapada. But because Suruchi was near, Uttanapada felt compelled to favor the son of his beloved and favored queen, to Dhruva. And he said, no, please, and pushed the little boy away. Suruchi took this opportunity to vent her superiority. She said to Dhruva, you have to be firstborn through my womb. Do you understand? Before you can sit on the lap of your father. That means, meant in clear language, Uttama will become the next king and not Dhruva. And she said other things which really hurt the little boy, so that he went in a greatly despondent way to his mother Suniti, who had lotus eyes and who received him with motherly warmth. Suniti heard the whole story and said, what can I do? I am not the favored wife of your father. No, but know that anyone who inflicts pain upon you suffers himself. Know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can help you in this dilemma. He can save you, not me. Dhruva Maharaj asked, how can I find this Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mother? And so Niti continued, it was the Supreme Personality of Godhead who gave Brahma the power to create, and Svayambhuva Manu, your forefather, dominion over the earth. Worship him in the way the sadhus do. And he said to him, he should meditate about the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his consciousness and worship him. Purify your heart and consciousness and situate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart. And Dhruva heard this. He heard a call. I must do this. I must come to Krishna, and became very determined. He left the kingdom, although he was only 5 years old, with the determination, I must find Krishna, and went into the deep jungles, not the cultivated jungle. I hear there are three types of jungles, and I've also experienced in my own wanderings in India. And this heavy jungle is where you have to really work to get through. So he went to this jungle, and he was determined, I will not return before I have reached my goal. We will leave Dhruva here, because after having heard the call, I must go to my Lord. Well, he didn't do the refusal to the call. He immediately went. The next step is, this is one, this is not there, to our knowledge. He met with his spiritual master, Narada Muni, and was initiated in a process, which we will also learn, and tomorrow we will do this process. We will actually meditate following the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj. We have worked this a little out, and I will first see if you are more awake than today. Yes. So, yes. Now I will draw the thing to the end. I wanted to make two more points, really. Dhruva went out to look for Krishna. Now, my dear devotees, to look for Krishna is not always easy, because our Lord will act in such a way that he will insist on the transformation of our hearts. Krishna once said to the gopis, my dear friends, You might be aggrieved by my words and acts, but you must know that sometimes I do not reciprocate my devotees' dealings with me. Krishna does not immediately come when you call for him. Have you made this experience also? My devotees, this from Krishna book I'm taking this, are very much attached to me. But sometimes I do not reciprocate their feelings properly. In order to increase their love for me more and more, if I can very easily be approached by them, they might think, Krishna is so easily available. So sometimes I do not respond. If a person has no money, but after some time accumulates some wealth and then loses it. No, we were poor, we had no Krishna, then we had some Krishna, and then maybe sometimes we lose Krishna. He will think of the lost property 24 hours a day. Similarly, in order to increase the love of my devotees, sometimes I appear to be lost to them. And instead of forgetting me, they feel their loving sentiments for me increase. Hare Krishna. This is our Lord. He keeps himself at a distance so that you keep on moving. I will now say something ugly, which may hurt some of you, but it is meant to do something nice. See, at that time, when Krishna is away, you can make the mistake of organized religion. I know I'm getting now in troubled water. My critics, please listen carefully what comes now. Organized religion or an institution can sometimes offer an inoculation against the spiritual experience. In other words, empty rituals that substitute spiritual experiences become what you cling to. This is not the transformation of the heart. This is not the road to take. When you feel your life is not with Krishna, where is Krishna in your life? You should not go, well, there are other things for me to do now than to search for Krishna. Let me search for a position, influence. Oh, maybe I should become a little bit more meaningful in the world of men. And you stop your spiritual search. This can sometimes, it happened to Christianity, it can happen also to all well-meaning people. This doesn't mean that they should stop their processes. It means they should bring life to the processes. And they should know, it's time for me to go into my spiritual essence. I will now tell you, because I'm from Sweden, a story from Sweden, which is so true. I just remembered having heard it from one relative, or I forgot really. My stories are living in me and have taken a life on their own. So maybe the Swedish people will not be so. It will be certainly a Satchinandan Swami treated story from Sweden. It's about that constant shedding of designations or upadis, which is necessary to do for a devotee who wants to transform and not take shelter in the superficial covering platform. Once there was a princess called Aris, Swedish name. The king and the queen made a terrible mistake when there was a request by someone to marry Aris. They immediately said yes, because the person had supplied references of, I have so much gold, so much countries, and so on. And they said yes. When they found out who was the new suitor or the bridegroom of Aris, they were shocked, and Aris was shocked more. It was a powerful dragon. It's a medieval story. Aris was shocked what to do if she would not marry this dragon. The dragon would come and force her to marry her. But could she marry a monster? She went to a wise woman and asked her, "What to do, mother?" And the wise woman, who knew the nature of man, she had 5 children herself, said, "Aris, on the day of your marriage, dress not in 1, but in 10 marriage gowns." I have to look to marriage gowns. Is it? Wedding dress. Please don't be shy. This will go for the world, to the world, so they must hear the right word. Wedding gown. 1, 2, 10 layers. There was a celebration. A celebration where many of the people cried a silent tear. Because although the dragon was so nicely dressed and had so much money, he was a characterless monster. What would become of Aris in her wedding night? When Aris went into the wedding room, or night room, she was trembling with fear. She said, "My dear husband," and the husband was approaching her in the way a bridegroom approaches her bride at the wedding night. "My dear husband, I have only one desire of you." "Yes, anything, anything," said the dragon. "Whenever I shed a cover, please, you also shed a cover." "How do you mean?" And as the dragon looked on, Aris put her first wedding groom away. "You please also take your first cover away." Dragon said, "Okay." And he took his scales, and had another color, a little bit more bright. Aris was becoming a little bit more enthusiastic and less fearful. She took her second thing away. A third thing, fourth, fifth, and with great pain, the dragon went, and took also the responding covers away. Until finally, he was standing there, but he was no longer a dragon. He was transformed. He was a wonderful, loving prince. This is how the fairy tales end. He was full of good character, love in his heart, and it became a happy connection, as fairy tales end. I'm here having Devamita Maharaj as my my audience, and we don't believe in these endings in fairy tales so much, but I want to tell the story how it is. I thought this is a very good story. As you are going deeper in your spiritual life, Mr. and Mrs. Dragons, or not golden-hearted, if you prefer a polite word, you will find out that there are desires emerging forward. You have to do something with them to get rid of them. You will find old attachments. At one level, you will find out that your heart is full of judgments of others. Do you know how sometimes you judge others? Oh, they are so bad. Oh, this devotee hasn't come to Mangal Arati. He is a lazy. Such and such. You judge the whole world at one level. The dirty things are becoming visible. And you get more and more transformed. At one level, you will come to something which is very, very dangerous. You will become so despondent that you develop something like self-hate. I was hearing that the Dalai Lama once had a conference with psychologists in the West and asked them, many of the Buddhists have come to your practices. What is the greatest danger which you see in the practicing Buddhists? And then the psychologist told him, self-hate. They don't like, they think I'm so fallen, I'm so downtrodden, I might as well go into material life. It doesn't matter anyways. This can happen on the spiritual path. It has happened, and those who have been in our different seminars have understood that there is a great difference between humility, spiritual humility, and this is my word, it's not scientific, sad, self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. When we hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur describe, oh, I'm this, I'm an ordinary person with attachments and so on. And amada jivan sada paparati. The saintly people find no joy in my company, and so on. He doesn't. He will in the next song begin to glorify Lord Krishna, and say, "But you can make everything possible. Please appear in my heart." Huh? So there is a difference between sad self-centeredness, which is without Krishna. And humility, where you approach Krishna in enthusiasm. Yes, many covers will come out in our process of spiritual life. But take courage. Take courage. The process of bhakti yoga can dissolve things. And we will talk tomorrow on this subject. For today, I will just whetten your appetite for tomorrow's presentation. In the Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful explanation about the process of bhakti, which can take care of these layers. Jarayadya shuya kosham. Kosham means the subtle covering. Huh? Remember the dragon. Nirginam analoyata. Bhakti, devotional service, dissolves the subtle body of the living entity without separate effort. Huh? This kosham, these different coverings, huh? Are dissolved without separate effort. And an example which is dear to the devotees of prasadam is given, just as fire in the stomach digests all that we eat. There's a beautiful purport to this. Please find this verse in your own reading time. It's in the third canto, chapter 25, text 33. Hare Krishna. So I will... I will now say two things. I notice my time is up, and I want to stay in the time reference. Thank you very much. This was a theoretical understanding. I can't resist. When you have all these quotes, you want to tell them. Here's something. Can you hear something else from Prabhupada? No, we can't hear. So we have to keep ourselves always, says Prabhupada, in the fire of Krishna consciousness. Then everything is all right. And he laughs. Go into the fire. And I will add into the fire of transformation. Yes, and this is the process of Bhakti Yoga, which Prabhupada has lovingly revealed to the world. And keep in the fire. Hare Krishna. So tomorrow we will talk about meeting the exemplar, it's called in secular language. I would also like to use these words so that you can use them in your preaching, that is the spiritual master, and obtaining from him the instruments of power. We will go to some very, very powerful bhakti processes which can dissolve these coverings and transform them and burn them, so to say. The medieval story of the dragon was one of shedding, but we will use the story for transforming the covers by activities, by certain spiritual activities. We will also have in one evening, in one session, we will have the alchemistical process, but in Krishna consciousness, don't worry. We will have from lust to love. We will see how we can take this greatest of our attachments transform it into love. And then we will have a very nice workshop, which I personally think will be the high point, because we do some very powerful exercises. The power of forgiveness is a very important thing which Svayambhuva Manu gives in the end to Dhruva Maharaj. So please come. Please give joy to our hearts by appearing in good numbers. Tell your friends to also come. And please come on time. Today was a little jet-lagged. But I want to really start in the proper time. Today I was 10 minutes late. I wish you a very, very nice seminar experience here in Radhadesh with deep, rewarding Krishna-conscious understandings. These conventions are really planned by Shonaka Rishi Prabhu as a way to give spiritual experiences to the devotees. So please take advantage of this facility and meet many interesting devotees to discuss with them your candid questions in spiritual life. Thank you very much and see you tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!